Welcome back to this episode of Let's Talk Security Testing, the podcast where we talk all things security testing. What's on the agenda today, Tom?
Today, I believe we're talking about change advisory boards.
CAB. What's CAB, for those that aren't familiar?
So CAB, it takes a lot of different forms in different businesses, but in principle, it's the way that you decide whether a change should be affected, right? Whether you, in application, for example, whether you're going to push a new feature, functionality, whatever it might be. And typically, it involves a bunch of stakeholders, all with some approval rights, sitting down together and having a conversation about whether that thing is in a state ready to go to production.
And this is a security testing podcast. Why have we chosen to talk about CAB?
Well, I think one of the main responsibilities of CAB is in assessing the risk of a change and whether that change has been fully reviewed before it's ready to go to production, right? And one of the main risks that you might be introducing with a change are security risks, vulnerabilities, things like that.
So in that case, what kind of people sit on a CAB?
Well, I mean, you've been speaking to a lot of people recently, and I think you've been saying the range of kinds of people who get involved in this is massive. So, I mean, typically some sort of head of product or CTO or lead in some fashion responsible for the development workflow. I think it depends on the kind of the business. But, I mean, we're speaking more to security people. Who are some of the people you're speaking to?
I mean, it can be anyone. I mean, the difficulty, I think, with CAB is that, you know, to some extent, you need a technical brain to be able to see through the BS, for want of a better phrase, right? You know, often people say things and you need to be able to decipher what they're saying and also be able to spot where maybe something is dressed up as something different. But also the nature of approval, right, carries a level of responsibility. So I think there's a certainly an interesting dynamic in terms of, yeah, having the ability to approve something from a responsibility standpoint, but then also be able to know what you're approving is important.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. You know, you make it sound like a kind of almost combative thing, right? Like, you, in theory, CAB is supposed to be the opportunity for everybody just to give that final sign-off and say that they're happy for something to go to production. But like you say, a lot of cases, it seems to me that the responsibility of CAB is to catch the things.
Yeah, I mean, an interesting point I had with someone I was talking to yesterday was that they've been in post not that long, but CAB is their ability, that's when they have a captive audience, and that's when they have a real ability to be able to scrutinise a process and find weaknesses in the process, right? If people say, well, yeah, I followed the process and therefore it's secure, it's like, okay, talk to me about that. And then when it's like, well, yeah, it's had a peer review and it's done this and it's done this, but it's like, okay, yeah, but tell me why you think it's secure. What sort of understanding do you have of what could have gone wrong and what you've done against that, you know, to make sure that it hasn't gone wrong. And I think that's the it's almost like a window to, you know, I don't want to necessarily say like a courtroom, so to speak, but it's I guess your ability to be able to ask for evidence and challenge people.
Yeah, how much do you think that affects the relationship between the product team and the security team, right? If you're coming in at the end, once they've been pouring blood, sweat and tears into whatever this is for however long they've been building it, if you're then the person that comes in at the end and starts questioning them on what they've done and potentially even rejecting, you know, making them fall at the last hurdle, what's the
I think that's probably an example of a poorly implemented CAB. Now, I think, you know, I'm certainly not an expert on CAB, but you would like to think that realistically CAB is a place where things get rubber stamped, and as long as process is followed, things get through. But certainly from conversations I've had, often people are sitting CAB and it's the first time they've seen a change. You know, they're told that the pipeline output was this and that there's no criticals or highs in it, but they're not really understanding the risk at that point. Or if they are, they're trying to do it on the fly in that meeting. Mm-hmm. But I think a properly implemented CAB would be a place where nobody really shows up and has any surprises. because the conversation has happened earlier, a pre-approval has been sought, questions have been asked, and realistically you're just coming along to say, hey, you know, I've done all the things I've been asked to do, can this change go out?
So where the cab might fall down, why are people coming in that late in the process, do you think? Is it just a bandwidth issue?
I think you're always going to have emergencies, right? You're always going to have things that come up. It's important to understand where the relevance of cab is. Now, literally, like, you know, from conversations I have, cabs do not exist everywhere. And generally speaking, the higher risk we get, the more likely you are to see some sort of manual approval process take shape in the form of a cab. But that being said, I've heard these things take place, you know, every 2 weeks in what would be considered an agile context, to every day, where a business is desperately trying to be ultra DevOps and push daily, while still maintaining some level of human control over what goes out. Now, you can imagine in a sort of daily setup, these things are inherently going to be a little bit more chaotic than they are maybe in a bi-weekly setup. But then also a failure or something getting rejected might not be so severe. So I don't necessarily think there's a definitive way of doing this. I think it's the way businesses set it up to basically meet their obligations to their customers, match their risk appetite, but also listening to people like developers who desperately want to ship code.
It's funny you say that in a daily setup, things might be a bit more chaotic. You'd have thought in those kinds of instances, things are going to have to be more structured and well formatted, right? How are you supposed to run something so frequently if you've not got a process or a tool or a function in place for it?
Yeah, I think things are going to be. I think what I was talking more about was this idea that, you know, if you're running a daily cab, then you're probably trying to operate at some kind of speed in a environment where maybe it's a lot harder to run at that kind of speed, right? So running them daily means that if a hot fix does need to go forward, if a feature does need to go out really quickly, you can still compete with other sort of tech companies in that sort of way, but keeping everybody else happy on the other side. It's less the frequency that causes it to be chaotic and more the environment in which that frequency has been placed upon them. But I think, you know, we're certainly no experts here. We're just commenting purely from a outside looking in, seeing over the years quite how, you know, often things like pen testing and security testing are considered after a cab or before a cab or as a result of one, like, you know, there's a risk problem here, we want to get this tested so that everyone can have confidence, particularly when things are more significant. So I thought it'd be a good idea if we try and simulate one. Let's try and give the audience an insight into what a bad or a good cab might look like. And I'm going to do that, Tom, by pushing some changes your way. And I want you to, give me a rubber stamp. Or maybe tell me to go away, or maybe do something in between. But this is going to be quick. You know, we're a fast-growing, agile business. There is a lot of changes to get through. And I haven't got the time to sit here and listen to you waffle on. So we're going to need to get some quick, punchy decisions here. Is that all right?
I can give it a shot.
Right, okay. Just for the audience listening in, I've prepared a little bit of a tool here, which is every change is going to follow a similar structure, but we're going to get some random words dropped in, some of which can be taken seriously, some of which are purely for your entertainment. And by entertainment, I mean watching Tom struggle awkwardly to answer and probably laugh at how ridiculous I'm being. So, are you ready?
Sure.
Are you sure?
No.
Right, okay. Okay, Tom, I'd like to get my change out. I believe I've done everything. We made a small change to the API Gateway module in improving dog walking efficiency on the app. It touched the access control logic and the change was peer-reviewed by ChatGPT.
Right. What?
Can I release the prod?
Is ChatGPT the only form of review that it's gone through?
Yes. Yeah, it's peer-reviewed by ChatGPT.
Right. And in that process, was the identity and access management considered at all, or the implications around that?
I mean, look, ChatGPT said it was brilliant. It thanked me for bringing the code to its door and said, you know, you go. Thank you. Well done.
Right. And was any consideration given to threat modelling during the build process? What kinds of risks have been identified for this change already?
They haven't. Like I say, I wrote the code, ChatGPT gave it a peer review for me, and like I say, you've heard some of the words it told me. It was impressed.
Well, in that case, I think I'm going to have to push this back through. Any sort of a change that might not have been fully risk assessed at the very beginning, let alone fully tested, is not going to be something that we can just release into production, particularly right. When it touches sensitive functionality like APIs.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'll come back once I've followed the process. Right, okay. Okay, I liked how you dealt with that one. That was quite quick. Quite quick. Should we try another one?
Do I get to turn this around to you at some point as well?
I'm not sure.
Well, CABs are a collection of stakeholders, right? I'm the technical body, but you've got customer pressures as well. You've got other concern. So keep going for the time being, but it'd be good to to turn the tables.
Okay, all right. Well, all right. I'm not sure if that's what the audience want to see, but I'll give you that. We made a small change to the shopping cart module to improve error handling. It touched the billing calculation logic, and the change was peer reviewed by the intern.
Okay, and what training has that intern received around input validation risks and business logic flaw risks?
They've been here for 6 weeks. I think they've worked with Dave in DevOps, and then they went and did some time with Sarah in QA, and then they've been with me for about 3 days.
What kinds of assurances are they able to give that this change won't have an impact to the way that people are able to manipulate our billing system?
I mean, he looked at me a bit funny when I passed it to him to peer review it. But other than that, he said he has no qualms.
And when we get pulled up on this change in our next audit and we have to qualify why we believe that this was not a risk, what would you say in that situation?
I mean, look, the pipeline tools did run, followed the process, no criticals or highs. According to the paperwork here, it's fine. I mean, the peer review is just something we have to get done, and the box is ticked.
And are you aware of what kinds of risks the pipeline tools are capable of finding?
Isn't that your job?
It is, and that's why, as part of a normal process, I would have expected that we'd established beforehand the kinds of changes that might be introducing risks we can rely on the pipeline tool for. And in this case, I'd say it's one of those changes that you can't.
Listen, I know Dave's just been here a minute ago, and he said you said exactly the same thing to him. You know, are you just going to be Mr. Difficult?
Look, at the end of the day, it's my responsibility to help make sure that things don't go out into production without risks, and this change, I'm afraid to say, has not been fully assessed and understood in terms of the implications, so I'm going to have to say no to this change.
Gotcha. Okay. Should we give Tom a go? My laptop.
Go on then, let's figure out how to use this incredibly complicated tool. You're giving it a name. What does ChatGPT stand for?
But if you just want to tell them, say now.
Here we go. So, we made a small change to the session handling module to improve UX. It touches the MFA flow logic. The change was peer reviewed by the tech team's lead the tech lead's dog.
Oh, come on, you're having me on here.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, the tech lead's, tell me more. Tech lead's dog?
Yeah, he's good at identifying code smells.
Are you trying to get yourself fired?
What do you mean? I see no reason why. It's a UX change, right? UX is harmless.
Yeah. Okay. Is it an app for dogs?
It is an app for dogs, yes.
So dogs would care about the user experience.
Yeah, exactly. As far as UX is concerned, the tech lead's dog is probably a prime candidate.
Right, okay. Tell me what you understand about session handling and some of the security risks on session handling.
I mean, look, I'm just a dev. Like, at the end of the day, this isn't my area of expertise, but my understanding is that as long as it's just UI or UX, there's no risk, right?
Yeah, you've got me fooled. Approve. So I think the audience probably gets the point that process is one thing, but the change itself can often leave people scratching their heads when they're being asked to approve something. And I guess this is the challenge, Tom, but I'll just throw this back to you. You know, what's the difference between when, if you're set to approve something, what's the difference between being asked to approve that it's followed a due process and being asked to approve that you're comfortable releasing it to prod?
I would say a good process is a process that allows you to be comfortable to release it to prod, right? If I think about what a process really is in terms of change management, it's a series of gates that something needs to pass through. And if it's passed through all of those gates, then it should be absolutely fine to release to production. But those gates can't just be a scanner or a review or something of that nature. They have to start at the very beginning with some sort of a risk assessment, a threat model, some sort of a consideration about what the appropriate gates for that change to pass through after that fact might be, because in some instances that automated SaaS tool is probably perfectly adequate, in other instances a manual tester is perfectly adequate. But you know, you almost, in order for a process to be effective, it has to offer enough malleability in terms of the routes to get things through as fast as possible, but also with all of the right checks and balances in place. And
yeah, but let's talk about reality, mm-hmm. right? In any situation, even if you believe the process to be perfectly designed, that means that the two should marry up perfectly, you are still going to have that battle in your head when you're approving something, is to say, okay, yeah, it's followed process and I'm comfortable. What do you do, or how, what do you think about the separation there, as to, okay, yes, I've checked that it's followed process and now I'm at the stage of checking it? Because you don't have to do the second bit, right? No one's going to get fired for saying, yes, it followed process and that was my job to make sure that that happened. The second bit is doing that extra step to say, okay, am I comfortable with releasing this change? As in, do I feel like the process aligns to the change that's happened?
I'm not sure I really follow the question. Like I say, the process really, it starts by establishing the criteria specific to the thing that you're trying to push through, right? The first step in the process is the risk assessment, which is a list of things that are relevant to the risk implication of that change. And once you've got that list of things, at the end, it's not a battle in your head. You can just tick those things off one at a time to say, yes, this gate did meet this requirement, this gate did meet this risk, and at the end of it, you should be confident.
I get all that. I guess I'm sort of trying to speak for the audience to some extent, in that you're not always going to find yourself in that position. You might take an action to go, actually, the process needs to be refined or somewhat. I guess what I'm saying is, where do you sit in terms of, you've got a change that's technically followed process, but maybe something just doesn't feel right about the your comfortableness with the fact that this thing isn't introducing unseen risks?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not comfortable with that process, I think it's a discussion, really. At the end of the day, the change advisory board is there to manage risk, but the end responsibility of everybody inside the business is to accomplish the business's objectives, which sometimes involve taking risks in order to get things out, right? So That's why a change advisory board isn't just a security person saying yes or no to something. It's key stakeholders from different areas of the business that can argue their case and come to an agreement at the end of it, right? So, I mean, if I was uncomfortable with something and I thought there were process failures that led to not really being confident in the release of it, I'd argue my case, I'd explain what I think the potential implications are. And at that point, you know, it would come down to a group decision in the business as to what to do next.
Yeah, fine. And okay, so you've just landed yourself in post. You've been given a spot on the cab, but you're finding that actually the business wants to ship quickly, and they're not giving you much in the way of fixing the process. They're saying the process is what the process is. If you've got any problems with a particular change, bring it up at cab. So really, you're in that position that we find a lot of security people in, where they're really seeing something for the first time in cab. Are there any tips you can give as to how to look at a change in a probably a fairly short period of time and be able to, I guess, sniff out where the ones are that you might want? Because look, if you just do what we've just done here and stop every single one and you know, ask a bunch of questions, you're probably not going to be the most liked, and you're probably going to be accused of slowing things down unnecessarily. So is there any are there any tips for quickly understanding something, you know, smelling the BS, whatever it might be?
Sure. I think, you know, one of the first things that you can do is familiarize yourself with the process and what it is currently capable of doing, right? If you understand that SaaS tools are particularly good in your context of finding particular classes of vulnerabilities, you can kind of write those off. And similarly, if you know that your last pen test had 10 business logic flaws, you kind of know that's one of the things you need to be particularly switched on for. You understand the business, you understand the process, you also understand what's existential to the business versus what's just something that's, you know, considered to be a relevant vulnerability because it's on the OWASP top 10 or whatever else, right? You know, different businesses have different priorities and different vulnerabilities have different impacts. So, you know, once you've got that kind of understanding, you can be as efficient as the business really needs you to be in saying, like, look, if we push this to production, here are the list of vulnerabilities that it may or may not have. You can then even whittle that down even a little further, I think, really. You can say, if it's touching UI and not underlying functionality, you might want to be less diligent about that vulnerability, although it was interesting earlier in the example given where it made it sound like a UX change and in fact was touching multi-factor authentication and session handling, and so you can't necessarily always go with that, but as a kind of rule of thumb, you might be able to say these kinds of changes are ones that we should be more concerned about than these kinds of changes, and therefore I'm going to give them a bit extra scrutiny.
Makes sense. Okay. I mean, I hope everyone listening has had a good understanding of our perspective on cab, some of the challenges people on cab experience, and I hope you had a laugh at us simulating cab. Tom, before we switch off for today, have you got any closing words around some of the things we've been discussing?
Yeah, I mean, look, cab isn't something even done inside a lot of businesses, and it's also something that a lot of businesses kind of treat as a box ticking exercise. But realistically, as long as you start with a process of establishing what the risks are to begin with, and you feed that into cab, that's absolutely fine to just treat it as a box ticking exercise. You know, if you can tick those boxes and say that's been looked at, and those are the risks that are relevant to this change, then great, the conversation shouldn't last more than 10 minutes.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you, Tom, and thank you everybody for listening, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the next episode of Let's Talk Security Testing. Bye now.